Here's how you set expectations. Well, Davey, I don't know how to come up with a one-pager to tell this person what I'm expecting. So here's another 167-page book for you. Selfishly, you need to do the following. Key word there is selfishly. So selfishly, you need to think about this and say, these major performance tasks that this person has to do right now, they have to do them. Like, these have to be right. So the water glass always has to have water in it to some degree. It always has to have it. Second, third. Other tasks include. So what are some of those other things? But it should really be broken out into three sections. You should have your major performance. I have to write. Is that right? Major performance. Have to write. Maybe have to be done right. I think I'm missing a word there. Sorry, guys. It probably should say major performance items, the things I have to do right, is probably what it should say. I apologize. So that's that category. The next thing that should be on there is other tasks you want them to do for you. Selfishly, you're making this list. And then the third component, to Shorty's credit, you know, there should be one or two things that, like, please don't ever do these things. You know, you ever swear at a customer, and by the way, we record our phone calls here, if you ever swear at a customer, then you will be terminated. If I swear at a customer 2 weeks later and you terminate me, should you feel guilty at night firing that person? Let me say it one more time. This is a big emotional thing for people. You have someone on the bus or in the wrong seat, whatever it might be for you, it's time to let them go and move on, and you feel guilty because you have to do it. I've been on that a few times over 22 years. What lets me sleep at night is knowing that I had set clear expectations of what I wanted you to do. I set very clear expectations that if you ever swore to a customer that I would terminate you on the spot. And I set very clear expectations that once you do these three major things for me, I'm going to have you do these type of things. And you made the decision to swear at the customer, so unfortunately I have to let you go. I sleep very good at night, knowing I gave them every opportunity to do the right thing. Write down one thing right now you need someone to do for you on that first section. Major performance. These have to be done right. Like, they have to do this right. Boom, whatever that is for you. Other tasks that's not as important, they're like secondary tasks. They're secondary things you want them to do. On the bottom there, Elaine, write must never, okay. Colon. Must never, colon. Steal. Swear. Whatever it is for your culture, for your company. Yeah, but swearing at a potential person who's going to book you to come in for a routine, or a performance, whatever. What is it called when you're a comedian? A performance?
A gig.
So, you know, your person swearing at someone who wants to give you money for a gig, grounds for termination immediately. Okay? So here's the words you can use. So right there, not... Remember, I just put this course together, so I apologize. I'm having you write.
This is great.
Is this cool? Okay. So here's what you want to write in this section when you have, like, never do. Write something like this. Okay, so it's disciplinary action up to and including termination. Disciplinary action up to and including termination. So let's play it out. Elaine brought me on board to do these three major things at the top and these other five things, you know, secondary tasks. And at the bottom it says, if I ever swore, you know, if you must never swear at a customer. And then whatever else, maybe one or two other things. And at the bottom it says, If this happens, disciplinary actions up to and including termination may be the result. Everybody, are you with me here, Elaine? I want you to get this.
Mm-hmm.
So if that ever happens, it gives you as the entrepreneur the ability to just write them up on a piece of paper and say, if it happens again, I'm terminating you. Or you can terminate them on the spot. Why?
Because you have it in writing.
Because you said up to and including termination. So that gives you the luxury of... I've been with you 5 years. Man, I didn't really get much sleep. I kicked my dog this morning. All right, Davey, please, let's not let it happen again. But, you know, I'm running a business here, so we're just going to make a note that you and I had this discussion today. Go out and get him, Tiger. I know you'll never do it again. Now, if it happens again, hello. All right, so a couple statuses here. You can have a temporary person. You know, we talked a little bit about that, a temp agency, if you will. You can do contract labor agreements. You can have a person working for you full-time. You can have a person working for you part-time. You can do work-for-hire agreements. I want to spend a little bit. Everyone understands the first three, correct? Full-time is with you. Part-time is with you. Work-for-hire. How many of you guys do projects and you outsource projects? So how many of you sign like some sort of work-for-hire agreement that clearly defines the expectations with that person or that company? Show of hands. Hypothetically, I contract with Mark to create me a brochure. Pay him $50. No harm, no foul, right? Fast forward, 2 years from now, I end up on a TV show called, you know, How to Survive in Las Vegas, and I make $1 million a year. Mark sees me on TV and goes, I probably had a lot to do with that guy's success because I made him that brochure 2 years ago. Mark calls me and says, hey, Davey, yeah, congratulations, hypothetically, for being on, you know, Las Vegas' How to Survive show. That was pretty cool. You know, I'd like to have 1% of your revenue for the last 2 years because I put that brochure together, and I know that was a key part of you getting on that show. What's 1% of $2 million? Is $2,000 a lot of money?
Yeah.
Is $200 a lot of money? Okay, so why don't we have a work-for-hire agreement that says, Mark, whatever you create, here's your project fee, this is what you're being paid, and you have no right soever, blah, 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 and I own everything you do, blah, 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 blah. To be a what? Smokey the Bear. Paying team members. You can pay them straight salary. So that means, you know, you come in, you do what you need to do, you make X amount of dollars per month, per week, per year, whatever it happens to be. Straight commission. So I want to try something new, and I want someone to sell my home study courses, and I only want to pay them for their performance. Pay them a straight commission. So whatever they sell, they get X percent, and that's all they get. They get nothing else. A bonus. You do something right, I want to pay you a little bit more. Did I tell you the story about my designer in India named Ramesh? Okay, so here's a good example of a bonus. So Ramesh does all my brochures for me for my creditandsales.com business, and every time I give him a project, the darn guy gets it done 2 days early.
Can we have his name?
So every time he, god darn it, gets it to me early and beats the deadline, I pay him a bonus. Fast forward. If I submitted Ramesh a job right now, whose is going to get done first, mine or Jane Doe's? Bonuses are nice. Hourly. You're going to do this amount of work, and I'm paying $8.50 an hour. Whatever that happens to be. A project fee. Project has a start and end date. Create this brochure for me. I'll pay you $80 to do that. Okay? And this is what I expect. I'm going to walk you through. How many of you would like to learn a way that you only would have to do 2 to 3 revisions with someone and have the job done? Anyone want to learn that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you about that later. Or you could do a combo platter. And what I mean by a combo platter is you can do different varieties of these. But I always say they should include some kind of profit component. I wasn't going to cover this later, but let me do the 4% thing again. Can we stick with that example? So you guys kind of did the math on, here was my profit. If I took 4% of that and put it into a savings account, let's play this out, okay? I don't necessarily have to report to my team every week, every month, every year, what my profit was in dollars. So we made $1 million last year. Most of us probably wouldn't want to share that with every team member. However, if I had a bonus component that said the company has to improve their profit by 1% or 10% year over year, and I can measure the percentage every month, can I do that? So the idea here is we set that 4% away as a bonus program, and then we report, we're going to get the company scorecard this afternoon, we report on our company scorecard what is our run rate for our profitability? Well, we're on track to increase our profit by 5%. So we're on track. That goal's green. But you know that that money is already being put away for that bonus to be paid out, whether it's quarterly or annually. So I always like to use a profit component. Some people like to use, you know, sales as a component. I always like to tie people into profitability because then they act like more like an owner. Look, if I'm a sales guy and you're paying me 20% commission, I'm just going to go out and sell the crap out of that. That's great, maybe depending on where you're at in your business, but long term, I want you to think, is that going to be a profitable sale? We'll talk a little bit about this when we start firing customers too. We're going to fire some customers today. And what I mean by that is, so you got $20,000 in revenue from a customer, but they're costing you $25,000 to serve them because they're a pain in the ass. Do you want salespeople out there selling to those kind of people? But if you're paying me a 20% commission, what's stopping me from selling to them? You see how conflicting goals in an organization can really jack you up? All right, moving on. Keeping score. Keep score and provide ongoing feedback. And I need to know whether I'm the floor sweeper. If I'm sweeping the floor or if I'm the president and chief entrepreneur of my business, I need to know how my tasks contribute to the bigger picture. And most of the clients I work with, I'm not going to ask any more if I told you the story. So I just need the sign, guys. Play with me here. So whenever I work with a client, whether it's a company of two or whether it's a company of 2,000, what I will do is one of the first questions I ask is, where do most of the employees leave when they go home? What door do they leave out of? They leave out of that door right there. And what time do they normally leave? They leave at 4:59, just for fun. So at 4:45, guess what door the high-priced consultant is standing by? That door. And people are walking out. Oh, hey, Rachel, I saw your name badge. Hey, just quick question. I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm doing something. Hey, how do you know you were successful today? Felt pretty good. I think I did good. Okay, hey, have a good night. Hey, Mary, blah, blah, blah. Hey, how do you know you were successful today? I think I did pretty good. You know what? Let me ask you a follow-up question. How's the company doing? I think they're doing pretty good. Hey, last question, I promise you can go home to your husband. Hey, just a quick question. What's like the top company goal this year that you guys are striving for? My bonus check? Oh, okay. Hey, have a good night. So that hypothetical example is an example of how do my tasks, what I'm doing, contribute to, and how do I connect the dots to see how that fits into the big vision? Because what you want with a team of owners is coming to you saying, Captain Doug, I love you, man, but I've been working on this thing for every Monday I do this, and like one day a week of my time is spent doing this, but I'm having a hard time, sir, connecting the dots of why I'm rekeying these notes and how that fits into the 3 or 7 goals that you told me are so important for my bonus. You should have the person who's doing the task come to you and say, this doesn't look right to me. Can you help me? How can they do that if they can't point to what the goals are to see if they're even, they have no gut check, right? The gut check is, I think I did good when I was leaving today. So let me just say it again in a different way, because sometimes we receive information differently. So here's the point of this first one. You want people to keep their own scorecard. That's where it starts. Okay, they have to be tracking and questioning you, why are they doing certain things? Because if they're doing something that's not productive or it's going to contribute to the overall mission and goals of the company, I want them to come to me as the entrepreneur and say, I don't think this is right. Can we talk about this? Instead of the old adage of, that's just the way I've been doing it over and over and over. With me so far on that? The second part of that is, what they are doing should be set by you as the entrepreneur. I want you to do these, like the last exercise we just did. I want you to be selfish. These are the things I need you to do. And you're going to be able to connect the dots and say, but when you do these 5 things, Davey, it's going to contribute to my 3 to 7 goals of the company. And when we as a team achieve those goals, I'm going to pay you a piece of that in a bonus. Starts with, let's work backwards. Let's start with the entrepreneur. What are the 3 to 7 goals you have for this year? Goes back to our filter we talked about yesterday. So let's just run through it again. No problem going over this again. Most important thing is you setting the 3 to 7 goals that I can objectively measure. Second step, now I have team members to help support and get me to that goal. So I need my marketing guy to do these 3 to 5 things each and every day to make sure we're going to hit those goals. And if they're working on something that's not supporting or getting me closer to that goal, I want them to be able to say, I'm not sure why you're having me chase this squirrel right now, honey, because I don't see how that fits into making us an extra $100,000 this year. So I want them to say, Davey, I don't understand why you're having me do this, because that doesn't fit into our 3 to 7 goals. Why are you having me work on this project when I can't connect the dots to see how that's going to help us achieve our goal? Not your goal, our goal. The reason it's our goal is because when we hit it as a company, you get a reward called a bonus when we do that. Is that better? Here's the other thing, cry wolf syndrome. Cry wolf syndrome is this. Drop everything what you're doing. I need this by noon. I drop everything I'm doing. I get it to you by noon. The next morning, I come by your office and say, hey, John Doe, you know, what you think of that report I put together for you? Oh, I haven't looked at it yet. I dropped everything yesterday to get this done. You said it was such a big deal. Fast forward 2 weeks from now. Yeah, Davey, I need you to drop everything and do this now. What am I thinking? Why am I going to take time away from my family? You want me to stay late? Last time you told me this, I missed dinner with my family. This time, I ain't doing it. Now, am I very productive? Because I'm coming the next morning with a chip on my shoulder. All right, keeping score. The question that must be answered by each team member is, how do I know I was successful today? I am giving you permission today to delegate. Here are the 3 simple steps to feel better about delegating. Or I can give you the 167-page book. 3 simple steps, not only for your benefit, but for the poor soul that you may be delegating to that you haven't done these things in the past. So let's make sure we delegate correctly. So 3 simple steps. Clear communication. So part of my clear communication has always been echoing. So if you ask me to paint that wall green with a roller brush, with a roller instead of a brush, then what I'm going to say to you, but I want to make sure I got it right. So I'm going to say something like, so just to make sure I got this right, you want me to take that wall, you want me to paint it green with a roller and not use a paintbrush, right? Yep, absolutely. That's what I want you to do. Boom. It's pretty clear, right? Everybody with me? If I just told you that, would you be able to do that task successfully?
And you're asking your employee to do that to you, to give you feedback.
Oh, yeah.
Can you refer to me?
Everybody should echo. Yeah. Everybody should echo. So, Elaine, you got enough info so far to take care of that task for me?
Can you please repeat it one more time?
Sure, absolutely. I want you to paint that wall green with a roller brush, not a paintbrush. Got it?
What color green?
Good question. What else did I leave out? Mm-hmm. What else? What other key information are you missing from that?
Why you ran it?
Oh, that would be a good one.
I'll send you one.
Okay, so y'all are really good in this room.
No, we're not. I'm not.
Okay, so let's continue. Here's what I think I heard. You're going to give clear expectations. Okay, now in this case, maybe it doesn't have to be in writing, but you get the point. Clear timelines and set them free. So let's walk through that. Number one. Clear expectations. I want the wall to be green, code number X57. Got it?
From Home Depot or Lowe's?
X57. Good question. X57. And also, I want you to do it with a roller, not a paintbrush. And I need that done by tomorrow at noon. Any questions? Then I'm going to leave now, and you're going to take care of that. Bye. Very simple. Very simple, very effective. Now, fast forward to the example, or rewind the example I gave you earlier about I need it now, and the next morning you haven't even looked at it yet. So the next time you come to me with this kind of communication, I'm going to hear everything you say except that deadline. I'm going to be like, yeah, right. Yeah, you want it done by noon tomorrow. So once you do it once or twice and people catch on that you're like a person who cries wolf when you ask them for things, not only do they feel bad, but their productivity goes in the hopper.